live in it a while, and we kind of mark up the walls and we stain the carpet, and it becomes humanized, and it's not new anymore. And everybody loves a newborn baby, right? You know, they come into the world and they're sweet and they're pink and they're precious and they smell good. We take them home, and then about a week later, they quit smelling good. Right? You know, we even like to change the diapers at first, and then God gets real funny, and He puts a little stink in the diaper. And they're not new anymore. And the new wears off. And we kind of want to look back and think about how precious it was to have those new things, new clothes, new shoes, whatever it might be. We all enjoy that. This morning, I'm going to share with you about being brand new. And when the message is over, I think you'll see where I got my title, but I hope and pray this morning that you get serious. And I'm going to ask a serious question before we begin this morning. We're about to approach a new year. Some of you sitting here are thinking, maybe this new year will be better than last year. Maybe this new year will bring some things that will just make my life so much better. Well, the new year is not going to be any different than last year. And this time next year, you're going to feel the same way if you don't have Jesus in your heart and life. If you don't make that decision to follow Him, I'm going to ask a serious question this morning, and I do not want you to stand if you can't say and answer it honestly in your heart. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about having your name on the roll. I'm not talking about saying that my parents went to church and my grandparents went to church. I'm asking you this morning, have you ever made that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to Him and asked Him to come into your heart and life and received eternal life? If you've done that this morning and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, if you were to leave this world the next minute, that you'd go to heaven, I want you to stand up. There's some among us that cannot stand, and I want you to know the reason I asked that question for just a moment. This message is going to be in three parts, basically. It's to those of you that could not stand up this morning, because I want you, when you leave here, to be able to stand up and say you have Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. We're going to pray here in just a moment. I want you to pray, each and every one of you that stood up. I want you to pray for those around you that weren't able to stand up because they're not sure about their eternal end. They're not sure about where they're going to go when they leave this world. And I want you to pray that today will be the day, before we begin in this 2009, that they'll come to know Jesus. Because I'm telling you this morning that time is running out. Time is getting short. Jesus is coming, folks. It's time to get serious about salvation. It's time to quit playing church. It's time to get serious about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we come this morning, God, asking You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit to be present in this place. And God, we thank You for it. God, we know that there's a battle going on here this morning, Lord. We know, God, that Satan is wanting to keep all he can away from You. And God, we know that there are those among us today that do not have a relationship with You. And God, we pray, Lord, that today, Lord, through the movement of Your Holy Spirit in this place, that today would be the day that they come and receive You before it's too late. God, that today that they will become brand new, Lord. That today they will give their heart and life to You. God, that they'll not struggle anymore with that sin. But God, that they'll lay it down and take up Your cross and follow You. Oh, Lord, we thank you for these, God, that have accepted you, Lord, and have received you and know you as Lord and Savior. And we pray today, God, that there'll be a renewing in their heart and their mind and their commitment to you, Lord. That they'll get more dedicated, Lord, in service and in love. And, Lord, that they'll be more dedicated in their Bible study, Lord, more dedicated in their worship, more dedicated in their praise and their witness, Lord. And, God, we pray this morning, Lord, that each of us will search our hearts. And when we'll decide that now is the time, today is the day, that we live our lives for you, that others might come to know you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. And amen. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. When you get there, say amen. Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter. I didn't hear. I heard a few. I want to hear amen. I want to know you're there this morning. If you got the word, hold it up this morning. I want to see it. Amen. I want to see it. Because this is what it's all about, folks, right here. This is the way you find Jesus. This is how you get saved this morning. You get saved by looking in the word, seeking out the word. Jesus said, I am the word. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. We're going to read in this scripture about a man named Nicodemus. A man who was very well thought of in his community. A man who was in high places in his community. Most everybody here would probably say that Nicodemus was a well-to-do man. He was probably a good man. And he was well liked. But see, Nicodemus liked something. Nicodemus was still empty inside. And there are a lot of you sitting out there this morning that are probably well-liked in this community. Probably most of you. There are a lot of you that might be very well-to-do. There are a lot of you out there this morning that probably have a lot of authority or maybe have a lot of power in your job. Maybe you can will a lot of things going on in your life, but maybe there's still something that's lacking, and that thing that is lacking is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the 3rd chapter, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles which thou dost except God be with you. And a little side note, Nicodemus was the first Nick at night. He was. Bible said he came by night. The reason he came by night, he didn't want anybody to know he went to see Jesus. He didn't want anybody to say, hey man, that man went to see this Jesus, this man who claims to be the Son of God. But Nicodemus had seen Jesus at work. He had heard about him. He knew that Jesus had something that he didn't have. He knew that he had something that he needed. The Bible goes on to say, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want to share with you this morning that I don't care what the world tells you. I don't care what anybody else says to you this morning. Unless you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, unless you surrender your heart and life to him, you are not going to enter into the kingdom of God. You can't be important enough. You cannot be big enough. You cannot be wealthy enough. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven. Now let me tell you something. Satan is going to tell you that lie. He is going to lie to you right now, even in this sanctuary, that you can get by without coming to Jesus. See, Nicodemus understood something. This man called Jesus had something. This man called Jesus was sharing something that he'd never heard before. This man called Jesus was telling him something that he needed. He had a liking in his life. Oh, he could have passed it off. He could have said, look, I'm important. I'm known by the scribes and Pharisees. I'm wealthy. When I walk down the street, people respect me. But Nicodemus decided there was something he needed to change his life. And then when he came to Jesus, Jesus told him something that he couldn't even imagine. Jesus said, hey, you got to be born again, man. You can't stay that person that you are. You got to change. See, there's some of you who are thinking, well, 2008 was a very terrible year, and I certainly don't know what 2009 is going to bring. And there's nobody sitting here this morning that knows, but I want to tell you something, and I just want you to get a little joy in your heart. The same Jesus that was in 2008 is going to be the same Jesus in 2009. And he's in charge. He holds tomorrow, folks. And he holds my hand. And he wants to hold your hand. But maybe you're under the belief this morning that, hey, you know, things went bad for me in 2008, but I can make them better. That self thing, I can make them better. Maybe I've got problems in my marriage. Maybe you're out there and you're not sure where your marriage is going to go. Maybe your wife or your husband and you aren't really seeing eye to eye. And maybe the reason is that neither one of you have surrendered your heart to God. Maybe the reason is because maybe you're not giving to God what you ought to give to him. Maybe the reason is that you don't really love each other the way you used to is because you don't have the love of God in your heart. And you're allowing Satan to deceive you that love that you had for each other is gone. See, because the biggest goal that Satan has is to destroy families. If Satan can destroy families, he figures he can destroy the church. And folks, we see it happening right here in this community. We see it happening right here in this church over and over and over again. Because people aren't giving their heart and life to Jesus. They're under the impression that they can live every day without him. We talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning, and I apologize to those people in the class because they're going to get kind of a rerun a little bit of the message. But I want you to hear it. I don't think you can hear it too many times. I want you to understand that if you're not living for God, you're living for the devil. Now, you can believe whatever you want to. There are a lot of people who think, I live for myself. I can do what I want to with my life. That's not true. All Satan cares about this morning is that you don't worship God. All he cares about this morning is you don't give your heart to God. He doesn't care about whether you come to church or not. He doesn't care about whether you sing praises to God or not. He doesn't care whether you pray or not. He just don't want you to surrender your heart and life to Jesus this morning. Because that's what makes the difference. He doesn't want you to get born again, in other words. See, Nicodemus thought, man, how can that be? I can't enter into my mother's womb again. How can a man be born again? Jesus said you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. Folks, I want you to understand something this morning. Salvation is a spiritual thing. It's not a fleshly thing. It's spiritual. You have to get right with Jesus in your spirit. Some of you are trying to whip the devil without a weapon. Some of you are trying to beat the devil without a weapon. Some of you got problems with your young people, with your children. You're not sure what to do about them. You're not sure about how you're going to deal with the situation, whether they're doing well in school or whether they're behaving the way they ought to or not. You're not sure what you're supposed to do. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to be as honest with you as I can be. Children follow examples. If you love the Lord and you go to church, they're going to follow you. If you worship God, they're going to follow you. But if you pass off church as being nothing, if you act like it's not important, if you think it's just something you have to do every now and then, they're going to take it the same way. They follow examples. They're watching you this morning. The Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus. Most people would have said Nicodemus didn't need Jesus. Nicodemus needed Jesus just like every one of us in this room needs Jesus. He needed salvation. Folks, I'm going to tell you the most serious problem you have this morning. The most serious problem you have is not the bills that are laying on the counter at home. The most serious problem you have is not whether you have cancer or whether you have heart disease. The most serious problem you have is not whether or not your children are behaving or whether your husband or wife. The most serious problem you have this morning is whether you have Jesus in your heart and life and whether you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. That's where it starts, folks. It's time to get right with the Lord. How long do you think this world is going to wait? How long do you think it's going to go on? 2009 is coming. I look at some of you and I can see you're just so uncertain about what's going to happen. You can't even get excited about what God wants to do in your life. Satan's beating you with that. He's beating you with worries and troubles and trials and tribulations, and you're letting him do it because you won't surrender it to God. You won't give it to Jesus. You think you can handle it better than God can. You can't. You know, I told the class a little while ago, I get amazed sometimes. I deal with people every day who are incarcerated. Some of you know that, some of you don't. I work at West Tennessee State Prison. I'm a state chaplain at that prison. I go in and out that prison every day. I see men every day who are never going to leave that prison. I'm not talking about they're there for a little while. I'm not talking about that they're going to just stay there and then they're going to get to get out. I'm talking about people who have life sentences who are never going to leave that place. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of them have more joy than some of us out in the free world because they got Jesus. They got joy and they're free and they get excited about Jesus and what he's done in their life. And I have to ask myself, why are there people out in the free world who are walking around and have all the advantages of the free world? And yet they're sad because they're not born again, folks. So you got to be born again. I know we live in a world today where people don't want to talk about the blood. Let me tell you something. I believe in a bloody, bloody religion. I believe in a bloody salvation. My Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood there that I might be saved. Somebody had to share the blood. Somebody had to die. Jesus died for me. Isn't it time you got serious enough to say, if he was willing to die for me, maybe there's something about it? That's what Nicodemus saw. You got to be born again, brother. You got to be born again, sister. You got to be born again, young person. You got to come to know, and being born again means to be changed. It means you got to give up some things. It means you got to say, hey, I don't want to keep doing the same old things I used to do. You know, maybe I got a problem with alcohol. Maybe I got a problem with drugs. Maybe I have a problem with the flesh. Maybe I look at things on the computer I shouldn't look at. Maybe I get involved in situations I ought to not be in. It's time that I decide whether I'm going to live for Jesus or not. Because I want you to understand something. Whether you've ever been incarcerated for those things or not, whether you've ever been locked up for them or not, they're just as bad in the sight of God. Man may know nothing about them, but God knows about all of them. God knows every sin that's in this room. Everybody in this room couldn't stand up a moment ago. It's not because you can't. It's because you haven't made the right choice yet. You haven't chosen to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. You haven't decided to turn away from those things. Jesus continued to explain to Nicodemus, man, you got to make the right decision. You got to decide to follow me. You got to accept me in your heart and life. You got to change. You ready to do that this morning? Then there are those of you that stood up. And you know, when you stood up, you realize, hey, I got eternal life. I got joy and peace in my life. I know I'm saved. But you know, it might have hit you when you stood up, hey, I'm saved, but am I really living the abundant life? Am I really living the life God wants me to live? See, so many of us can be saved. So many of us can know that we can claim salvation. But you know what we miss? We miss living the abundant life because you know what? We're totally not surrendered to God. We've given Him our soul, but we don't want to give Him our time. We've given Him our soul, but we don't want to give Him our talent. We make excuses on sometimes why we don't come to church. We make excuses on why we won't witness. Folks, the Sunday school is not going to grow unless you and I witness. We've just gone through a program here about discipleship. Discipleship starts out with people who are disciples. Discipleship starts out with people who are willing to spread the gospel. Discipleship starts out with people who are willing to say, I know Jesus personally. If you got a personal relationship with Jesus, you ought not be able to sit still. 2009 is not going to be any different, folks. I promise you, things are going to get worse. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Paul, you're preaching a real dark sermon. No, I'm not, because see, what I understand is, over in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells me that Jesus' plan is at work. And if I'm a saved child of God, that means I'm headed in the right direction. And I don't care what the world says. Like we say, I read the back of the book, folks, and we win. Aren't you excited you win? Come on. Man, you need to get excited. Some of you look like you swallowed a hanger, like Brother Lambert said, sideways. You don't get excited about anything. The devil's got you believing that you ought to sit and mope. There's nothing to mope about. See, you and I, if we're a saved child of God, we need to be excited all the time. We need to be jumping up and down. Jesus did so much for me. You know, I can imagine when Nicodemus left that place. He was a different person. Don't you imagine he was? Scribes and Pharisees probably didn't even notice it. But I bet you a lot of other people noticed it. Because I believe there was some compassion put in Nicodemus that he didn't have before. There was some love put in Nicodemus he didn't have before. There was some holiness put in Nicodemus he didn't have before. There's some compassion put in him he didn't have before. See, because when Jesus enters in, he puts all that stuff in you. You have compassion for the lost. You have love for those who do not know Jesus. I'm going to share a story with you. Maybe this will help you understand why I came to this point of the message being brand new. See, we need to be brand new this morning. We can start all the new years we want to, folks, but we need to be brand new. I'm going to talk to you about a few moments about an inmate named Edward. Edward's kind of close and dear to my heart. Edward came to our prison from Alabama, where he just left serving a 5-year sentence in what's probably one of the roughest prisons there is in Alabama, and that's Bibb. Some of you may know about it. I don't know. If you do, don't raise your hand. You don't have to tell me. Bibb is a very tough prison. It's a lot tougher than the prison I work at. Food's not very good. The treatment's not very good. Inmates are pretty rough. He served those 5 years in Alabama. And then he got expedited to the state of Tennessee. Just go back a little bit, though, to let you know, when Edward was 13 years old, his mother and daddy got a divorce and separated. Edward went to live with his father. One reason being, at the time, the courts thought that his mother was unfit for him to live with. He had a sister. He and his sister went to live with his father. The bad thing about it is that the court didn't really search into it too well, because his father led Edward and his sister on an act of crime. He would have them go and shoplift for him. He would allow them to do things they shouldn't do at the age they were. He would allow them to drink and indulge in alcohol and other drugs. From the time Edward was 14, he was being taught how to commit crime. When Edward became 21, he got out on his own. First time Edward ever entered prison in Alabama, he was 21 years old. He got a 3-year sentence that time. He served 3 years, and Edward, in his mind, he said, I can remember the chaplain talking to me. He said, I can remember volunteers coming and telling me how Jesus loved me and how much he loved me. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't really need the Lord. I can change my life myself. I can make it better. And when I get out this time, I'm going to stay out of trouble. Edward stayed out a little while. All of a sudden, Edward was in bigger trouble than he was the last time. Edward got hooked on drugs a lot worse than he was before. He couldn't get a job. He couldn't have any type of income in his life, so he decided he would rob a place. The bad thing of it is, Edward just chose to do armed robbery. When Edward chose to do armed robbery, that brought about a more serious crime. So when he finally got caught this time, he ended up doing 8 years. That's the time he did at Bibb. Well, prior to his coming to Bibb, he had gone up into the state of Tennessee, where we live, And he'd committed several crimes. He'd stolen some cars. He'd robbed some places. They were on the lookout. They were looking for Edward. They wanted Edward bad. Edward believed that all the time he could change his life himself. He believed that all the time he could make a difference. He didn't need anybody else. He didn't need God. He didn't need anybody to tell him about Jesus. Didn't want to hear about it. A little over a year ago, Edward finished his time at Bibb and the state of Tennessee had him transported to our prison. As most of you know, some of you know, I have a chapel class every day at the prison. Have a worship time. Well, I happened to notice Edward. He would come into the back of the chapel and he'd sit on the back seat. And after the service was over, before the invitation was given, Edward would always sneak out the back door. And every time he would come, he would do that. He'd sit on the back seat. He'd listen to the service. He'd sit there and he'd be very quiet and very polite, but he'd never say anything. He never came down front. He never sat with anybody else, but he'd sit on the back seat in the corner. He'd go out the door. One morning after chapel class, I went back to my office and I had a few of the inmates to come back and talk to me. And the next thing I do, I look up in the middle of the door and there stands Edward. Tears running down his cheeks. He said, "Chaplain, can I talk to you for a moment?" I said, "Sure, come on in, Edward." Had never met the man really that much other than seeing him in the chapel. He sat down and he began to tell me his life story about how his dad had taught him a life of crime. How he kept being told that he could make a difference in his life and how it could be different if Jesus Christ would come into his heart. And he said, "You know, I just don't believe that. I just can't believe that." And he said, "I want you to tell me a little more about this man called Jesus." And for some reason, God led me to this chapter about Nicodemus. And I began to share with him the importance of being born again. I began to tell him that you know, he had to make a change in his life. He couldn't continue to live and expect the next year to be different than the past year. He couldn't continue to live the way he was living and expect not to be in prison. And one thing I forgot to tell you, because Edward had served two times in the state of Alabama and he came to Tennessee, he was considered one of those people who had three strikes against him. It means they didn't want to really let him out. They gave him 25 years instead of the 18. 25 without parole. That's what the court said. Edward said, "You know, I've tried everything, so tell me, what do I need to do?" And I shared with him about Nicodemus and about being born again and about being a new person and being changed. Well, we had a word of prayer that day. And I prayed for Edward, and Edward prayed. And Edward went on out the door, and next day we had chapel. And Edward sat at the back like he normally did. And I thought, well, maybe I didn't say enough. Maybe I missed the mark some way, and Edward went on back out the door. A couple of more days, we had some more services, and he did that. And then one Wednesday morning, we gave the invitation. And I saw Edward begin to move, and I thought, he's fixing to go out the door again. And I want you to know that the minute the invitation was given, Edward came running up the aisle with tears streaming down his cheeks. "I'm brand new! I'm brand new! I'm brand new in Jesus!" Now, folks, that's what we're talking about this morning. I'm brand new. His life was changed. He couldn't remember about being born again, but he could remember about being brand new. And he felt it in his heart. And I'm going to tell you what Edward does now. Edward stands out on the sidewalk in the prison and proclaims Jesus as Lord and Savior of his life. Edward's the first one in chapel every time. Edward is there every time the door is open. Edward is sharing the gospel in the very cell block. And you know what else is wonderful? The parole board decided they would give him a chance for parole. See, God does everything. He does it all. He doesn't change. Give him the glory. See, Edward got born again. He'd been putting it off for years and years and years and years and years. But he got born again. What about you this morning? How long are you going to put it off? How long are you going to let Satan convince you that you have to live the way you're living? How long are you going to be convinced that, hey, I don't need salvation. I don't need eternal life. I can make it on my own. How long are you going to be able to be convinced by Satan that you believe that you can be good enough to get to heaven? Satan tells that lie to just about anybody that will accept it. He'll even tell that lie that you can give enough money that you can buy your way into heaven. See, that's not what it's all about, folks. It's all about becoming brand new in Jesus Christ. If a man who has no hope of ever getting out of prison, a man whose life was taught even by his father to commit crime, who has no church background, can find Jesus in a place where sin runs rampant, how come you want to sit in a church when you hear the gospel and know without a shadow of a doubt you need Jesus and you sit still? You reject him. Folks, you have to be born again. You have to receive Jesus Christ in your heart and life. You have to surrender to him. You're not going to go to heaven without him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. I want you to understand something this morning, just like I told the Sunday school class, you don't have to do anything to go to hell. And if you're sitting here and you're under the impression that hell's not real and you can ignore it and you can stick your head in the sand, I want you to understand this morning, I'm not going to beat around the bush with you. Hell is real and it's a place of torment for eternity. And I don't want you to go there. And Jesus don't want you to go there. But you got to decide. You got to make up your mind. Edward decided he wasn't going. He got tired of Satan running his life. By the way, Edward met the parole board. Edward's going to get out on the 28th day of February. God set him free. And you know what I believe with all my heart? God has a purpose for that man. That young man is going to stand in the pulpit and proclaim the gospel. I believe that. He's going to reach souls for Jesus because he chose to do what God wanted him to do. What about you? When God changes your life, he changes it all, folks. He doesn't do anything halfway. Maybe you need to come to this altar this morning. Maybe you're a Christian out there and you need to come to this altar this morning and say, Jesus, I haven't been what I'm supposed to be. And I'm ashamed. But I want you to know, God, in 2009, I'm going to be committed to you, God. I'm going to reach people for you, Lord. I'm going to be a light, Lord, that others can find their way because I don't want anybody to go to hell because I wasn't what I was supposed to be. Or maybe you're here and you're lost. And you're just tired of going through year after year after year after year carrying the same old sin with you, bearing the same old burden. Jesus said, lay down that burden. Take up my yoke. My yoke is easy and light. Follow me. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to follow him. Aren't you tired of making the decisions yourself? Don't you see where it's getting you? No place. You're going to carry the same sin with you in 2009 that you had in 2008 if you don't surrender them to God, if you don't give them to Jesus. Maybe you're here and you already made that decision, but you haven't made it public. Maybe you haven't entered into the baptismal waters, and maybe you put it off. Maybe you think that's not important. Folks, I want you to understand it's important that you make it public. Jesus spoke in the public. Jesus wants you to come to him in public. He doesn't want you to keep it. See, God does not have any secret agents. He just doesn't have any, folks. None of us are undercover. We're supposed to be in the limelight. We're supposed to be in the open. People are supposed to see us. Whatever the need is this morning, you need to come. The reason I ask you to stand if you were saved is if you weren't able to stand, I pray that this morning you'll make the decision that next time somebody asks people who are saved to stand, I can stand. I'll be able to stand. Because that's the most important thing. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited that my Jesus is coming back someday. I'm excited, brother, that the trumpet's going to sound. And you know what I'm more excited about? I'm ready. And if you can't say you're ready, you need to come get ready today. Let's don't play anymore, folks. God knows who's saved. I don't. You don't. God knows. He knows who you are. Won't you come and get His love in your heart? I'll pray with you. I'll cry with you. I'll talk to you. There'll be counselors on the right and the left that can come and you can talk to them. You can come to this altar. The main important thing is you get it right with Jesus today. Get brand new. Be like Edward. I'm brand new in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we come to you this morning, God, asking, Lord, that your Holy Spirit now move in this place. And Lord, that those people be like Nicodemus, God. That they come and seek you out, Lord. God, that they look to you, Lord, for eternal life, for forgiveness of sin. Lord, we know, God, that you're the only one that can bring it. And we ask you this morning, Lord, that through the movement of that Holy Spirit, that souls get surrendered to you today. Lord, that 2009 will be a year that they'll not forget. That they remember they gave their heart and life to you, and it's eternal. Oh Lord, we realize this morning, God, that there are those who are being spoken to right now. They're being whispered in their ear to Satan, and by him, God. They shouldn't move, they shouldn't act. It's not real, it's not true. God, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move that. God, that they'll yield their heart and life to you. That they'll surrender their will to you. Come, God, and become brand new, become born again. They might receive that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ who came. They might have it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to share the gospel here. Thank you for the opportunity you give me to share in the prison, Lord. For those men, God, that have given their hearts to you, bless them this morning as they worship. And, oh, Lord, bless us here. May your Spirit rain down. May your love and your mercy come in this place, and may people move. Come to this altar and pray and ask for others to be saved, as well as those who need salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and amen. God is speaking to your heart as we stand and sing. Will you come this morning? Will you just step out and come to this altar and say, God, I want to pray.